from Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, and on this day when we prepare to publicly confirm 8 young members of this congregation, we're going to pick up where the children have left us off and skip a little bit ahead, but we'll cover all the ground on this 5th Sunday of Lent and peek ahead to the good news that is to come. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. They say, all good things must come to an end. They say nothing lasts forever. So I guess it's a good thing that in this service of worship, we don't profess our faith in whoever they are. "Now this is not the end," Winston Churchill said in November of 1942. "It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning." In the spirit of full disclosure, I will tell you that Churchill used these words when talking about a military victory over the Germans in North Africa. But when we begin to process these words with our theological lenses on, we have something that appropriately describes what is happening in the life of Christ's church today. On this day, when 8 members of the 2011 confirmation class will publicly profess their faith, there will be some familiar scenes that seem like endings we have seen before. Tears might be shed, hugs will be given, and pictures will be taken. There will be time for reflection and memories, and pictures of the year gone by will be shared. It seems like an ending, all right. The events leading up to our gospel lesson this morning must have seemed like an ending for the disciples over 2,000 years ago, many of which were laid out by the children already this morning. The disciples were there on that infamous Friday that we mark less than 2 weeks from now. There were some familiar scenes that looked just like other endings they had seen before. It was routine for mobs to egg Pilate on to sentence someone to crucifixion. It was the beginning of the end as crowds watched and mocked people who carried a cross, the very symbol of shame. This is what happened in those times. They'd seen it all before. They would nail him up there on the cross, and that would be the end of it. It was fun while it lasted, but Jesus was meeting his end, and all his rhetoric was sure to end as well. When things we perceive to be good come to an end, a whole range of emotions can take hold of us. Sadness, depression, anger, fear, uncertainty, emptiness, and doubt, to name a few. We have all experienced at least one of these feelings at some time or another. Perhaps we even entered this place of worship with one of those feelings today. That's what happens when we let them try to convince us that endings are real. That's what happens when we mistakenly give them authority, whoever they are. We can all put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples who went to the mountain in our gospel lesson, can't we? Here they are in the midst of grief because of the ending they witnessed just a couple days earlier. And now rumors were circulating that Christ was alive. Our scripture says that the 11 went to the mountain to which Jesus directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, and some doubted. Let's break that loaded sentence down a little bit. the disciples went to the mountain where Jesus directed them. We go to great lengths to satisfy our curiosity for things we hear about and hope for, but don't really quite believe. We do an internet search on Google. We call a friend to ask if they've heard the same rumor. We spread the rumor to others ourselves. We show up in a place where something big might happen, even if it sounds far-fetched. When the disciples saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. We go through the motions, even in worship. We stand up when we're told to stand up. We sit when a worship leader tells us we may be seated. We do what we think is expected of us. We come for any number of reasons, and when most of us are being completely honest, we sometimes bring our doubts and skepticism with us. Oh, sure, we like the idea of Jesus. His words and actions were noble. Life seems to be better when we carve out a bit of time from our busy schedules to spend with him. When we heed his advice and live life the way he wants us to live, we get glimpses of the kingdom of heaven, and we love what we see. Yet sometimes doubt creeps in, even when he's right here in front of us. We want answers. We want to be sure we are right. We want to be sure this whole church thing isn't the most elaborate con of all time. But our eyes, our hearts, and our experiences are telling us this is not a con. There is something very, very real here, something worth believing in. In fact, at the very core of our being, we need something to believe in that will go on because we don't do endings very well. We like beginnings. Beginnings are usually a reason for excitement. The birth of a baby, a wedding, kickoff, the honeymoon phase of a new job, a new school year, or a new relationship can be so much fun. Everything is new, it's different, it's a clean slate, it's an empty page just waiting to be written on. There is a grace period in beginnings. The only thing that is ending today is the beginning, and what a beginning it has been. The baptismal promises of love and nurture made to these young people in this church have manifested themselves in very authentic ways. The confirmation class that they have experienced has been one filled with questions, scripture study, discussion, fellowship, and service. They have been exposed to these cornerstones of faith, but everything up until now is only the beginning. I imagine the disciples had a lot in common with this confirmation class. They liked to do things together. They enjoyed the times they shared meals and experiences together. Their faith grew because of those times. Young disciples love asking questions and gaining new insights from each encounter with people in the world and one another. It was easy when they set apart so much time to spend with Jesus Christ. And perhaps like this confirmation class and the rest of us, it was the next part that got a little bit scary for the disciples. The next more challenging phase of the journey begins when David, Kelly, Josh, Nick, Eric, Mackenzie, Chris, and Mylon publicly answer the constitutional questions laid out in our Presbyterian Book of Order. These young women and men will profess their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, declare their intention to be his disciple, obey his word, and show his love, and promise to be a faithful member of this congregation and seek the fellowship of the church wherever they may go. I thought since the confirmation class is doing this today, maybe the rest of us should do some reflecting of our own. How are we doing on these three points? Many of us answered these questions in the affirmative when we joined the church, but are we really living into the answers? Oh, we all have the best of intentions, don't we? We intend to pray. We intend to go across the street and meet our new neighbor. We intend to invite those people over for dinner. We intend to go to worship. We intend to break bad habits. We intend to start new patterns. We intend to shift paradigms. We intend to get around to thinking about the possibility of doing something differently than the way we've done it for years and even decades. We profess our faith in Jesus Christ, but we still give them a lot of authority, don't we? Whoever they are. We affirm our reliance on God's grace with our mouths, but when it really comes down to it, too often, the only authority that is easy to trust is our own. Friends, too often we are the they that we give so much power to. As we sang with the praise team and how deep the Father's love for us, we hear our mocking voice call out among the scoffers. We are the they that put our own human expectations on others and ourselves and put God on the shelf, only to bring out when we feel absolutely necessary. Have we not yet learned our lesson that when we leave God's authority out of the picture, when we try to give God our agenda instead of living out the agenda God gives to us, it is nothing but a dead end? We have no authority of our own. The authority belongs to God. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, said Jesus on the mountain that day. Not most authority, not some authority, all authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It must have been a bit scary for the disciples that day. Here they were just getting used to the reality that Christ had conquered even death, and now he was getting ready to leave them again. But this time, with instructions. Friends, it's probably a little scary for the confirmation class and the rest of us that this beginning is ending today. When we realize the magnitude of what Christ calls us to do, it is a reality check for all of us. Discipleship is not something we graduate from. Rather, it is something we are continually called to grow into. In just a few moments, we will see part of the statements of faith and life verses that each confirmand has chosen for themselves. And when we let ourselves calm down from the excitement of the day and the momentousness of the occasion at which we've arrived, we can take heart. Friends, Jesus Christ sends us out with a job to do. The good news is he gives a reminder better than any insurance policy we could ever buy. Jesus says, remember, I am with you always. When we allow ourselves to remember this eternal truth, we are reassured of God's faithfulness throughout the generations. We were not made for endings. The flood wasn't the end for Noah. Egypt was not the end for the Israelites. Goliath was not the end for David. The cross was not the end for Jesus Christ. When we truly relinquish all authority to its rightful owner, we remember that we were not made for endings. We were not made for endings. So even as a new chapter begins in the life of this congregation, with a new designated pastor and a self-study in the coming months, we remember the words that we sang earlier this morning. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.